Please listen to Invité de Clark, a new program here at Radio Harmony, where we interview interesting people. Take some time to listen to Invité de Clark. Say Radio Harmony 88.8 on your dial with interesting interviews with interesting people.
It's time for L'Invité de Clark on Radio Harmony Cornouaille 88.8 with your host, Clark 80. Stay tuned for today's guest, retired lycée educator and administrator Pascal Michel of Le Foy Fouinot.
C'est l'heure de l'invité de Clark sur Radio Harmony Cornouaille 88.8 avec votre animateur Clark Eddy. Restez à l'écoute de l'invité d'aujourd'hui, Pascal Michel de La Forêt Fouinot, éducateur et administrateur des écoles à la retraite.
L'invité de Clark with your host Clark Eddy. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.
One of the joys in my job is the opportunity to meet people who are living very interesting lives. Today is no exception. I have as my guest Pascal Michel, who I'm interviewing in his home in Le Foy Fouinot. Good morning, Pascal.
Good morning, Clark.
Thanks so much for having me in your lovely home with your wife, Perrine.
You're welcome.
You know, there's so many things we can talk about. Pascal and I had a little discussion before the show started, and he's a very interesting guy with an interesting past, so we'll get right to it. I know that you're not from Brittany originally, but you've been here a while. Where are you from originally?
I was born in Normandy, in Rouen, and my parents were born in Cherbourg and Sainte-Marie-Lise, so we are true Normans, and we've been Normans for more than 600 years.
Yeah, I think that counts. There was that little incident with Jeanne d'Arc, but other than that...
Yeah, that's right.
No, and you mentioned St. Mary-Église, you know, that's very famous in the States, where I'm from, for many reasons, but it was featured in a movie, The Longest Day, you may remember.
Oh, yeah, and my grandmother was one of the first French person to be injured during the D-Day.
Really?
Yeah, she had half of her face torn off by a part of a bomb. She didn't die, she survived, but she was an utterly courageous woman. And the first time I saw her, she had a kind of iron mask on her to hide her injuries. Mm-hmm. And she was a wonderful person. I have very fond memories of her.
What a story that is. And there's so many stories that came out of that. St. Mary-Église. There's a wonderful museum there, I'm sure you know about.
Very nice.
We had a chance to go through. Mm-hmm. Well, then you went into teaching, I know, but you've done some other things before that. You mentioned that also you were involved with a travel agency at one time. And let's go through your life in terms of working and some of the things you did as a younger man.
Okay. When you say younger man, at what age should I start?
Well, it's a problem with you because all your ages are interesting. You talked about scouting and sailing, and those are two areas that I'm sure people are interested in around here.
Yeah. Well, in fact, I started, I learned sailing in Normandy, of course, in Cherbourg, and when I was 13 years old, and it became a passion very, very, very quickly. So later on with my wife, when I met my wife, I learned that her father had a very nice sailing boat, and we went sailing together in Turkey, Greece, and they also went to Tunisia and to England. And well, later on, we had also a sailing boat in Concarneau, and so we went sailing to England, to places like La Rochelle, and around the coast in Brittany, of course. And because we had a lot of children, we had to sell the boat because she was too small for us.
Yeah, that's right. Pascal has told me he has 7 children, actually. So that would be a crowd on a boat. That's some interesting sailing. I think particularly the Mediterranean would be an interesting place to go, too.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, too, that you had met an American family that lives somewhere near you in Normandy. Is that right? Did they live with you or just get vacation with you?
No, the people I met in Normandy were the American family I met. No, what I mentioned was meeting American families in the USA. And, yeah. When we were in Seville, yes, Seville. When I was a kid, we used to spend holidays in the home family in Seville, not very far from Cherbourg. Mm-hmm. And there was an American family. Their name was Kittredge. They were people from Washington D.C., but they traveled a lot because he was a diplomat. And we became very good friends with the three daughters. The three of them are still alive, and once in a while I can get in touch with them in the USA.
That's very nice.
And that was probably the first time I had the opportunity to try to speak English with people, because I was only 8 years old when we met, and mm-hmm. at that time we didn't learn English in primary schools. So those girls spoke English and French. So together we would try to communicate in both languages.
Well, you know, I've talked to Pascal quite a bit, and he absolutely is fluent in English. It's a pleasure really to speak to him in English. We were going to talk about scouting too, because that was a big part of your life too.
Clark, the funny thing is that I don't know why, one day when I was 16 years old, I asked myself, if I die tomorrow, what would I have done in my life? And the answer was nothing. So maybe, I don't know, is it a question of being too proud or whatever? I don't know, but I realized that I really wanted to do something useful, and I decided to join the Scouts. And joining the Scouts...
You were 16 when you did that.
Yeah. Yeah. I learned quite a lot of things with the Scouts, and then I became a Scout leader, and... that's probably why I also became a teacher, because I realized that I really loved working with young people and then with teenagers. And as a scout with a group of five other scouts, one day we organized a concert with a religious group, a Christian group. Mm-hmm. With the money we won, we could buy some mopeds. And we traveled from Paris, from Versailles, to be precise, to the Alps. And it took us 3 days to go down to the Alps on mopeds.
Mopeds.
And when we arrived, we had made appointments with the park rangers to build the first mountain huts in the Parc National de la Vanoise, because at that time it was the very beginning of that park, mm-hmm. which is quite huge. So we spent a month there building mountain huts. And at the same time, we would help a farmer who lived up high in the mountain. And after a month of building the two first huts in the park, we had a wonderful surprise, because the park rangers took us all in their helicopter to fly around the Parc de la Vanoise.
Oh, my goodness, a helicopter. Yeah. That was fun.
That's one of my fondest memories.
You can tell.
I must admit. That was great.
Well, you ended up then in the teaching profession, as you mentioned. How did that start?
I studied English at Paris Universities, Paris number 10. At that time, it was called Nanterre, and it's still there anyway. Mm-hmm. And then when I passed the master, we had the opportunity to go and teach in England. So I spent a year in Jersey, in the Channel Islands, teaching French. And then that was it. I also passed the CAPES to become a teacher. And at that time in the... generally speaking, at that time, it was quite easy to get a job as a teacher. And I wanted to be a teacher in the Catholic school, because I'm a Catholic, and that was fine with my faith and my commitments. And at that time, I had met Perrine, so we were engaged. We got married in 1977. And immediately after, we decided to go to French Guiana in South America.
Oh, you did? Yeah. How old were you at the time?
At that time, I was 77. I was going to be 26, and Perrine was 22.
But had you already started teaching in France at that point?
No.
So you went right to Guiana.
Yeah. So we went to French Guiana, and I taught in a Catholic school, Saint-Joseph de Cluny. And we spent two wonderful years there. And I really realized that I was made for teaching. And so we spent 2 years there. We could have stayed longer, but the sisters didn't want to pay the trip to go back to France on holiday. That was quite expensive at the time. Mm-hmm. So we spent 2 years there. And then I looked for a job in Catholic schools along the French coast from Dieppe to La Rochelle. I had 13 different opportunities, but there was one school in Quimper, which was looking for an English teacher. And at that time, we had a sailing boat in Concarneau. So that was it.
I see. So deal closed.
Yeah, real closed. Yeah. Okay. So that's why I arrived in Quimper, where I stayed. I used to teach at Lulikes for 15 years, and then I taught in Saint-Joseph in Concarneau for 20 years.
Wow, that's a great career. Mm. I'm visiting with Pascal Michel in his home, and we're talking about his multitude of talents and some of the interesting things that he's done in his life. We're talking about teaching, and I'm kind of curious about Guyana because I wondered what it was like at that time, you know, in terms of the tropical climate, right?
Well, let's say that in French Guiana, it was quite easy because I was a teacher in a girls' school, but because the parents were probably stricter than in France itself. Mm-hmm. Although French Guiana is a French department, but there was really a real respect for the teachers, and we never had any problems with the parents. I mean, when the teacher said something or would say something, the parents never disagreed. And then when I arrived in Quimper, to be honest, it was the same. And I think that I was fortunate enough in Quimper or in Concarneau, I never really had difficult pupils, difficult students. They were quite obedient. They were quite hardworking. Some of them less than the others, of course. Mm-hmm. But our authority was never contested by the parents or by the students.
Yeah.
But I retired. When did I retire? 7 years ago. And today, one of my daughters and one of my daughter-in-law are teachers, and they say that it's much more difficult because their authority is always on the verge. I mean, they're
questionable.
They're questionable, and it's very difficult for them. Yes.
Well, some of that too is a credit to you. I mean, if students respect you, they'll be quite a bit more cooperative, I'm sure. Yeah. If they don't, so.
Most of the time, I really loved my students, and the helmet you've got there on your right was offered to me by my last class of terminal. They were all 16 or 17 years old.
Yeah.
And I really had a ball with them that year. They were wonderful students, and I'm still in touch with some of them.
Well, that's great.
And at the very end of the year, they offered me that helmet, which is a kind of collector item, and they signed the helmet.
I can see the names out there.
Yeah, they all signed the helmet, and no, honestly, I love my job. And I think that if you want to be a good teacher, you have to love the students. You have to love it. I mean, it's not a job you can do if you don't like it.
No, they sense that right away. Your commitment and how you feel about this.
Severe and even tough, but always just.
That's the thing. If it's fair, it's fair.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations. That's a great tribute to you. I know that you probably didn't think about that when you were growing up to be a teacher. This is kind of came along later, right?
Yeah, it came later.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, my father wanted me to study law because he was a businessman, and I hated it. I studied it for a year, and then I started studying English. It was much more interesting for me.
You gave it a try. That was important.
Yeah, I gave it a try.
And you were your own man and went out and did your own thing, too. Yeah. That's good. You said you went to the Channel Islands, and that was a place you could learn English, mm-hmm. right, better?
Yeah.
It's in Jersey, what percent of the population would speak French in Jersey?
Well, today I think it's a very, very, very small percentage. At the origin, they used to speak Norman. And the funny thing is that even today, if you're a lawyer in Jersey, you must absolutely learn the Norman law in Caen in Normandy.
Really?
Yeah, and when they start a trial, They even today, they start the trial by saying in French, in old French, Arro, arro, mon prince, on me porte tort. They have to say that in French. But today, the huge majority of people don't speak French. They speak English. It's a financial paradise, too. And, well, I'd say it's a nice place to live if you have quite a lot of money. And but it's very peaceful. It's very quiet. Yes, but once again, I think it's much easier for people who earn a lot of money there. Yeah.
Well, plus you have to enjoy island living.
Yeah, on top of that, yes, because to leave the island, obviously you have to take either a boat or a plane. But at the time when I was living there, at that time you only had a plane from Jersey to Cherbourg, mm-hmm. or from Jersey to England. So, for example, you couldn't fly from Jersey to Paris. That was impossible.
It's interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like us trying to fly to London from Brittany. Good luck.
Good luck, yeah.
Good luck. Did you feel more like you were in France or England in Jersey?
No, I felt I was more in England, but at the same time, I felt I was still a bit in Normandy because I could see the coast, the Normandy coast from Jersey.
Yeah, that's a pretty amazing setup, actually. Yeah. That's interesting. Well, you know, Pascal, we're going to run out of time for this episode, but I'd certainly like you to stick around. Could we do another one and maybe broadcast it the week after?
Sure, no problem.
Well, that's great.
Anytime.
Well, we'll be back with Pascal next week, and we'll hear more about how he's been doing and the things that interest him. We hope you enjoyed this broadcast today, and we look forward to having you next week. Remember, every Wednesday at 10:15, and every Saturday, the rebroadcast at 18:15 on your very favorite radio station, Radio Harmony, 88.8. That's it for this edition of L'Invité de Clark on Radio Harmony 88.8. Join me again next week for part two of my interview with Pascal Michel. And if you have a moment, let me know how you are enjoying the show by emailing me at info@clark80.com. That's clarkeide.com. Thank you.
C'est tout pour cette édition de l'invité de Clark sur Radio Harmonie 88.8. Rejoignez Clark la semaine prochaine pour la deuxième partie de son entretien avec Pascal Michel. Si vous avez un moment, faites-nous savoir comment vous appréciez l'émission en envoyant à Clark un email à info@clarkeidy.com. Clark, C-L-A-R-K, Eidy, E-I-D-E. .com. Canabo!
L'invité de Clark, with your host Clark 80. Enjoy interesting interviews in English with fascinating people from our area and beyond. Another reason why things always go better with a little harmony in your life.
L'invité de Clark, c'est mercredi à 10h15 et samedi à 18h15.